Hello! I'm very excited to announce that we now have merchandise for Bedtime Stories with R.A. Spratt. You can order t-shirts, sweaters, hoodies, notebooks and coffee cups, all with the show's new logo on it. They look super cool, so check it out. I'll put a link in the show notes for the online store, or you can go to my website, raspratt.com, and click on the merchandise banner. So if you have been enjoying the stories, please do consider ordering something to support the show and help me keep kicking this can down the road. Hello and welcome to Bedtime Stories with me, R.A. Spratt. Well, it's a beautiful, sunny, warm autumn day here in Bowral. There's nothing terribly exciting going on. I'm just plugging away with my next book. I'm writing Nanny Piggins, the origin story. It's due at the end of the month, which is a bit terrifying. But hopefully, if I just keep plugging away one day at a time, I will get there. I will get there, you know, eventually, maybe a week or two late, but I'm pretty sure, I'm 100% sure I will get there. I'm contractually obliged to get there, so it will happen. What else is going on? Well, the story I'm doing for you today, well, 2 weeks ago, you'll remember we had the big Q&A session and people from all around the world sent in their questions. And there were some great questions, but amongst the questions, there were a few suggestions. And one of the suggestions was that I do the story of Pandora and her box. And I thought, that is a crackingly good idea. Admittedly, when I thought that thought to myself, I was getting in my mind Pandora and Cassandra confused. They're both women from Greek mythology, and I sort of was muddling up the stories in my mind. But when I did the research, I clarified my thoughts, and I know all about Pandora now. So I have written up the story of Pandora. As is my way, I was hoping to make it a short story, just, you know, 10 or 12 minutes, and it's totally blown out to a 15-page story, so it's probably going to be more like 25. So we should get into it. So let's do it. Here we go. Today's story is Opening a Pandora's Box, as told by Nanny Piggins. "Nanny Piggins," said Samantha, "what's a Pandora's box?" "Why do you ask, my dear girl?" asked Nanny Piggins. "Well, at school today, Michelle Brampton brought in her pet rats for show and tell," explained Samantha. "But Tom Hasselman had never seen a rat before, so when Michelle wasn't looking, he opened the lid to have a peek. But the rats had not enjoyed the bus ride to school." "Oh, there are a lot of potholes," said Boris, "and potholes are stressful." "As soon as Tom opened the box, one rat leapt out at his face. He screamed and dropped the box on the floor, and the other three rats fell out. Everyone else started screaming. Macy Donovan climbed up on a table and said she refused to do any schoolwork in a room with four rats." "Why not? What's she got against rats?" said Nanny Piggins. "I knew some lovely rats in my time at the circus. They're wonderful company, and very handy to know if you ever lock yourself out of your house. They can squeeze in anywhere." "Well, Macy said that rats bite people and spread bubonic plague," said Samantha. "Oh, they haven't done that for years," argued Nanny Piggins. "It's totally unfair the way rats are stigmatised. They inadvertently cause one Europe-wide, devastatingly deadly pandemic, and no one ever lets them forget about it." "Well, Headmaster Pimplestock came to deal with the situation," continued Samantha. "Really? That's uncharacteristically brave of him," said Nanny Piggins. "Well, the district superintendent was inspecting the school at the time, so he couldn't get out of it," explained Derek. "Ah, that makes more sense," said Nanny Piggins, nodding. "Brent Solomon saw two of the rats go under the aquarium stand, so Headmaster Pimplestock got on his hands and knees to have a look. But the rats had chewed through the power cable to the aquarium pump, so when Mr. Pimplestock reached in, he was electrocuted. Then he started screaming, which made a rat bite him, so then he screamed again. Then Macy fainted, which was bad because she was still standing on her desk. She hit her head on the globe of the world as she fell and had to be carted off to hospital in an ambulance in a neck brace." "Was she all right?" asked Nanny Piggins. "Oh, yeah, fine," said Samantha. "She just had a mild concussion. Macy loved it. While she was there in hospital, they gave her two ice cream cups and a slice of banana cake. She thought that was much better than having to stay at school and do a geography test." "Wonderful," said Nanny Piggins. "I do like a happy ending. The happiest of endings, in fact, because it involves cake. Although, admittedly, cake tainted by fruit. But a double serving of ice cream compensates for that." "Was the headmaster all right?" asked Boris. "Well, we think so, although he does flinch if you say the word rat when you're near him," said Samantha. After he'd limped back to his office, Macy was wheeled away and Michelle caught all her rats, which didn't take long. She just bribed them with a cheese sandwich from a lunchbox. Our teacher, Mrs. Jacker, said that Tom had opened a Pandora's box when he let those rats out. So I was just wondering, what does that mean? Well, the expression to open a Pandora's box is a very old one, said Nanny Piggins. It goes all the way back to the very beginning of the ancient Greek story days. This story was first written down 3,000 years ago in a poem by a poet called Hesiod, said Nanny Piggins. As you know, I do not approve of poets. I don't mind poetry. It's the poets themselves who get on my nerves. I blame my brother Bramwell before he became a waste disposal technician at the chocolate factory. In case you can't remember, dear listener, his job was to lick all the machines out at the end of the day. It sounds disgusting, but Bramwell was so greedy the factory had never been cleaner. Anyway, before he did that, Bramwell used to be a poet. Of course, Bramwell never wrote any actual poetry. He was too lazy for that. But poets generally don't write much poetry. They prefer to think about writing poetry or perform slam poetry, which, disappointingly, doesn't involve any slamming at all. Slam poetry is just saying a poem very quickly in front of an audience so everyone is too caught up in the moment to realise how mediocre your poem is. Anyway, being a lazy, good-for-nothing poet, Hesiod got most of the details about Pandora's life entirely wrong, said Nanny Piggins. Well, we don't know anything about her, said Michael, so you'd better tell us the whole story. I will. It begins right back at the beginning, said Nanny Piggins. Well, beginnings usually do, said Boris. No, I mean the beginning of everything, said Nanny Piggins. Before humans were invented, there were the gods of Mount Olympus. And before the gods were invented, there were the Titans. You remember, we've talked about the Titans before. They were monsters like Typhon and Echidna. They wrought chaos and destruction on the world. When the ancient Greek gods came along, like Zeus, Athena, Hera and Poseidon, all that gang, they had a huge battle with the Titans, which they won, which made the gods very smug. The gods then set about making the world civilized with beauty, music and art. And they also created man. These men worked in the fields and tended to the animals. Everything was going along tickety-boo as far as the gods were concerned. But Prometheus, who was one of the Titans who'd been beaten in the war, he got a bit sulky about how everything had worked out. So he went and lived on Earth with the humans. And he found he really liked people. I think people to Titans were like puppies are to humans. Prometheus thought people were cute and adorable, so he wanted to give them something nice. What, like a chew toy? Asked Boris. No, you're thinking of something a puppy would like, said Nanny Piggins. Prometheus wanted to give humans something useful. He wanted to give them a technology that they could use to improve their lives. So did he give them an iPad, guessed Michael? No, that would have been too big a leap forward in technology, said Nanny Piggins. You've got to realise that at this stage in history, humans had absolutely nothing. They had their animals and they had their spears and that was it. They didn't even have fire. But how did they toast their marshmallows? Asked Boris. They didn't, said Nanny Piggins. The poor wretches, said Boris. They had no fire, so they couldn't toast marshmallows. They couldn't warm their hands in the winter. They couldn't heat up milk to make hot chocolate. And worst of all, they couldn't bake a cake. No! Cried Boris. Exactly, said Nanny Piggins, which was why Prometheus wanted to be nice and give them fire. But Zeus was such a cranky pants, he absolutely forbid it. Prometheus did not like being forbidden to do anything. So one day he snuck up to the god's palace on Mount Olympus, waited until Zeus wasn't looking, then stole some fire. How'd he steal fire? Asked Derek. Well, there was a blacksmith on Mount Olympus. He always had a roaring fire going so he could mould metal into weapons for the gods. Prometheus stole a single spark from that fire and wrapped it in a hollow fennel stalk. Then he dashed down to Earth and gave it to the humans. Of course, the humans loved it. Instead of eating raw meat and worse yet, raw vegetables, suddenly they could cook themselves cake and cookies and tarts and pastries. Their lives blossomed with joy and creativity as they raced to see how many delicious things they could create with this wonderful, warming gift. But inevitably, Zeus got really, really, really angry that Prometheus had ignored his forbidding. "I don't see how Zeus can be angry with anyone else," said Samantha, "when he did so many dreadful things himself."
"When you're king of the gods, you can be angry about whatever you like," said Nanny Piggins.
Zeus was so angry, he had Prometheus chained to a cliff face, then sent his pet giant eagle to fly down and eat out Prometheus's liver.
"Gross," said Michael.
"Yes, gross and horrifically painful," added Nanny Piggins. "But it gets worse, because the punishment was repeated every single day. Every night, Prometheus's liver would grow back, and every day, the hungry eagle would return, over and over again for the rest of eternity."
"Zeus came up with some really weird punishments," said Derek.
"Yes, you see, there was no TV or internet back then," explained Nanny Piggins. "So when a god got mad, they had a lot more spare time to stew on it and come up with something diabolically cruel in retribution. So, having doomed Prometheus to an eternity of unrelenting torture, Zeus also wanted to get even with man."
"But it wasn't the humans' fault that Prometheus gave them fire," protested Michael.
"Michael, I have been telling you stories from the ancient Greek story days for a long time now. At what point did you ever hear of Zeus being reasonable or rational?"
"Never," said Michael.
"Exactly," said Nanny Piggins. "That was not his way. Because Prometheus had given the humans something that was really helpful, Zeus decided he would balance that out by giving humans something that was the opposite, something really unhelpful."
"What, like a chair with three legs so every time you sat down you fell over?" guessed Derek.
"No, Zeus had something much more diabolical planned," said Nanny Piggins. "He decided to give mankind a woman."
"Huh?" said the children. "You have to understand that up until this point in the ancient Greek story days, humans had only been men. There were no women," explained Nanny Piggins.
"But how would that work?" asked Derek.
"Look, this is a story. If you start applying reason, a modern understanding of genetics, a rational timescale, or even just an ounce of common sense, this whole story will collapse into a pile of nothing. The logic of all the Greek myths is very tenuously constructed. This story about Pandora in particular takes unbelievability to such an extreme that if you want to actually hear the story without your brain imploding from confusion, it's best to just not think about any of the details and go with it. Because I'm telling you, there's not one part of this story that makes a single lick of sense. If we're going to go on, you just need to accept that. So do you want to hear the story or not?"
The children considered this for a moment.
"I think we want to hear it," said Derek.
The other two nodded.
"All right," said Nanny Piggins. "Then you must promise that you will suspend all your sense of logic and reason until the story is over. If you start thinking about it, you will struggle so hard to make sense of it that you may suffer brain damage from the strain. And none of you want to get brain damage, do you?"
The children shook their heads.
"I thought not," said Nanny Piggins. "Although, according to Piggins family lore, mild brain damage can be cured with a really good Black Forest cherry cake. So if this story does addle your mind, don't panic. We will have some restorative cake immediately afterwards."
"Okay," said Michael. He felt they could proceed if there was a backup plan.
"All right, let's get back to the story," said Nanny Piggins. "There were no women, which we will quickly move on from without any analysis." She glared at the children at this point, challenging them to contradict her. They did not. "Zeus decided to create a woman and gift her to humanity," continued Nanny Piggins. "He got Hephaestus, the blacksmith on Mount Olympus, to craft a woman out of dirt."
"Out of dirt?" exclaimed Samantha. "You're applying logic," accused Nanny Piggins.
"No, I'm applying feminism," said Samantha. "Saying a blacksmith created the first woman out of dirt is just plain insulting."
"Samantha Green," said Nanny Piggins, "you know better than that. You can't listen to a story from the ancient Greek mythology days with feminist ears. All the ancient Greek myths are so wildly sexist, you'll weep so hard you won't hear a word of the story."
"Fine," said Samantha, "but can I put my fingers in my ears in the particularly insulting bits?"
"Please do," said Nanny Piggins. "Boris puts his fingers in his ears in the scary bits."
"And the bits where people yelled," said Boris. "I don't like yelling."
You see, the stories have lots of unpleasant things in them, said Nanny Piggins. But stories need unpleasant bits to make the pleasant bits seem more pleasant. And we all like stories, don't we?
Yes, Nanny Piggins, chorused Boris and the children. So let's get on with it. Hephaestus created Pandora, and all the other gods helped to make her extra especially lovely by sharing their own godly gifts. When they'd finished, Pandora was magnificent. She was beautiful, charming, curious, intelligent, graceful, and talented. She was the most delightful pig you could imagine.
Whoa, hang on, said Derek. You said Pandora was the first woman.
Yes, said Nanny Piggins.
But you just said she was a pig, said Derek.
Yes, she was a woman pig, said Nanny Piggins.
I just explained that Pandora was the most beautiful, clever, charming, graceful, and talented woman you could imagine. So of course she was a pig.
In fact, she was a distant relative of mine.
Of course, said Michael.
Derek shook his head. He was ashamed of himself. He should have seen that coming.
A great aunt, perhaps, suggested Samantha.
Yes, indeed. My great-great-great times 524 greats aunt Pandora Piggins, said Nanny Piggins. And like all women in the Piggins family, she was brain-bogglingly fabulous. Zeus was very pleased with his creation. Pandora was all ready to be sent down to Earth. But before she went, Zeus took her aside and gave her a present. He gave her a box.
Good luck on Earth. I hope you have a wonderful time living amongst the men, said Zeus.
Oh, thanks, Zeus, said Pandora.
Here you go, continued Zeus. I got you a going-away present. This lovely box.
Oh, thanks, said Pandora. She would have preferred a nice dress or some flowers or perhaps a good book, but a box was okay, she supposed.
But remember, said Zeus, whatever you do, never ever open this box.
Oh, dear, said Michael.
Yes, said Nanny Piggins. Pandora was obviously a little nervous about having to go and live on a planet full of men with no women to talk to, so she was a little distracted at the time. But even in that anxious state, a little part of her brain said, "Huh, I wonder what's in the box." Because, as you remember, one of the gifts the gods had given her was curiosity. Now, when Zeus took Pandora down to Earth, he didn't just dump her in a field and walk off, leaving her to fend for herself. Although that's just the type of thing he would do, grumbled Samantha. Zeus took Pandora to Epimetheus and offered her to him as his wife.
What? Exploded Samantha.
Oh, I'm sorry, Samantha, said Nanny Piggins. I should have warned you to put your fingers in your ears for that bit. I know, it's outrageous. But Epimetheus was very handsome and important, and Pandora took a shine to him right away, so she didn't mind too much. But they didn't realise Zeus was up to no good.
Zeus was always up to no good, said Samantha.
Zeus was using Pandora to punish Prometheus more, because Epimetheus was Prometheus's brother. Before he'd been dragged off and chained to a cliff face, Prometheus had warned his little brother,
"Whatever you do, never ever accept a gift from Zeus. He's really mean, and he really hates me."
But Pandora was so lovely that as soon as Epimetheus saw her, he forgot all about Prometheus's warning. Or he did remember and decided he didn't care because he'd fallen deeply in love with Pandora at first sight.
Okay, Epimetheus doesn't sound too bad, said Samantha.
So Pandora and Epimetheus got married and everything was splendid. They were in love. They were happy. Creepy old Zeus had gone back to Mount Olympus. Everything was tickety-boo. But they still had the box sitting on the mantelpiece. Every day Pandora would look at it and wonder what was inside.
Did it have air holes? Asked Boris. If it had air holes, perhaps it was a pet inside. Perhaps she should let it out.
That's what Pandora was thinking, said Nanny Piggins. Perhaps it was a pet, or a diamond, or the cure to the common cold.
Ooh, or something even better, like a jar of honey, said Boris.
Exactly, said Nanny Piggins. Pandora started to think, what possible harm could it do to have a teeny tiny peek in the box?
She sidled over to where the box was, took a hold of the lid, and raised it up just a few tiny millimetres, and whoosh! The contents rushed out, and the things that Zeus had stored inside were dreadful. Out came sorrow, disease, famine, greed, madness, old age, and death, and they spread across the world to plague man for the rest of eternity.
That's terrible, said Michael.
Zeus was such a rotter, said Samantha.
Yes, indeed, said Nanny Piggins. And humankind has had to struggle with those misfortunes ever since. Oh, poor Pandora. To get the blame for something that Zeus maliciously planned, it's just awful, said Derek. I mean, he created her on purpose just to make her look bad, when the whole thing was caused by him.
Yes, as we have established many, many times, Zeus was a very naughty god.
But it wasn't all bad. What? Sorrow, disease, famine, greed, madness, old age and death are pretty bad, said Michael.
Indeed. But once all those things had spread out into the world, there was one thing left in the box, said Nanny Piggins.
Was it a jar of honey? Asked Boris, hopefully.
No, said Nanny Piggins. When all those terrible things had escaped into the world, the one thing that was left was hope.
Oh, said the children.
That's deep, said Derek.
Because even when we're surrounded by the worst of bad things, there is always hope, said Nanny Piggins. So when we think of my dear great-great-great times 524 greats Aunt Pandora Piggins, instead of thinking of her as the person who brought us all our worst troubles, we can think of her as the person who gave us hope.
I hope she got a jar of honey later, though, said Boris, to cheer herself up.
It's still a pretty bad story, said Samantha.
Aha, but that's where the Black Forest cherry cake comes in, said Nanny Piggins. Quick, children, to the kitchen. We must eat as much as possible, as quickly as possible, to avoid the brain damage.
And that is just what they did. The end. Time for bed.
All right, well, I hope you enjoyed that one. That's it for now. Until next time, goodbye.